He says the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Omer Aleph. Mochol Rishon B'Mone. So now we're going to have now we have a more complicated type of geula. We discussed that if you sell a regular, the last Mishnah, if somebody sells a regular field, stay achuza, bizman shayevel noyeg, so the halacha is that the field can only be redeemed after 2 years. And then from then until yevel, you deduct the amount of time that the person used the field from the original sale price, and then that's how you redeem the field back. This Mishnah is going on with his two moichrim. So you have a moicher, you have the original moicher, he sold it to the first buyer, and now the first buyer became a moicher himself, and he sold it to a second buyer. So obviously here we have several issues. Number one, we have to know, possibly there will be no din of redeeming it at all. Maybe once the first guy sold it to the second guy, it's not redeemable at all. Maybe now you have to just sit tight till yovel. You'll get it back. Maybe you only have a right to redeem it from the first person you, which really would be logical. We have to know why that's not even entertained. L'chore, there will be a svara. You lost it. You lost that right to redeem the field. Just like we find l'halocha, if somebody is makdish a field, to hekdish, and then he has a right to redeem the field back. But then instead of him redeeming the field back, somebody else goes and redeems the field back. So we discussed this barichus when we were holding in the sugya. If you have a right to go to that guy who went ahead and got the field from Hekdesh to do business with him, well, really you're out of the loop now. Now when the field goes out by Yovel, so it goes back to the Kohen, possibly. We discussed this barichas when we did the sugi. So it's very possible that if you sold the field to Reuven, even though you had a right to redeem the field back until Yovel, but now that Reuven went and he sold it to Shimon, now you're out of the loop. It's too bad. But that the Mishnah doesn't even entertain. We have to know why not. Why doesn't the Mishnah entertain that it should be too bad on you now? You should have hopped right away. Now you're out of the loop. The Torah gave you a right to redeem it from the first guy, not to redeem it from the second guy. Because this sort of goes back to what we were discussing last week. When you sell something during the time of Yovel, is the pshat that you're selling it forever, and it happens to be that Yovel comes and gives it back to you? That's one way to learn. And the other way to learn is it's a type of rental. You're not really selling it forever. You're selling it only until Yovel. And really, we're going to have an issue either way. If the proper way of learning is, as we discussed last week, that I sell my field, I'm really selling it forever. I'm selling it forever. Yovel will come and eject it. Yovel will come and take it out. Then the logic stands that if the guy who bought it from me went and sold it to somebody else, I'm out of the loop. Because he had a right to sell it to somebody else. And now, it's by him. Possibly, Yovel will come, I'll get it back. But till Yovel, I have nobody to talk to. That would be a very strong possibility. If we learn, however, that it's a rental, we look at the 49 years that you sell your field as a rental, then it's very logical that you could go to the second guy just like you go to the first guy. Because you tell the second guy, listen, you couldn't get more rights than the first guy had. The first guy only had a temporary ownership, which I can redeem, and that's all he's able to sell you. So now I'm going to you to redeem it back from you. The problem we have then we don't understand the din of the Mishnah either. So let's look at this Mishnah reads. The Mishnah says, Machol Rishon B'Mone. So you have Reuven. He's the original owner of the field. He sells it to the Rishon B'Mone. He sells it for 100 zuz to the first guy. So now, Shimon, who's holding the field now until Yovel, sells it to Levi. Umachar Ishin L'Shem. So now Shimon sells it to Levi. But to Levi, he made a deal. He was a flipper. And he sold it to him for Messiah. He sold it to him for 200 zuz. Now the shaila is, when I redeem it back, how much do I have to redeem it for? Do I redeem it for the 100 that I sold it for? Or do I redeem it for the 200 that Shimon sold it to Levi? So the Mishnah says, Einay mechashev ele marishin. You only have to be mechashev with the rishin. Okay? Now, the Lashon HaMishnah sounds very, very mechurishtik. The Mishnah sounds like you don't even have to talk to the second guy. The second guy bought the field from the first guy. You just go to the first guy, say, I'm redeeming the field back. And now the guy that's sitting there, the second guy, it's too bad on him. You redeem it back from the first guy, and now he gets thrown out. That's the Lashon HaMishnah. The Lashon HaMishnah is, Einay mechashev elo marishin. If the Mishnah would say, Einay noisin elamone, then the Mishnah could be saying you're talking to the second guy. But the Mishnah doesn't talk about the amount only. The Mishnah says, Einay mechashev elo marishin, which sounds like your business is with Reuven, Shimon. Reuven sold it to Shimon, you talk to Shimon. What's with Levi? He's none of your business. That would mean that Levi now gets evicted. The sheriff comes, evicts Levi out of the property. Levi doesn't know what's going on, doesn't know what hit him. And the fact is that he wasn't even part of the business. The closing took place in the offices of Reuven, who already sold his field to Shimon, who already sold it to Levi. He sat there and worked out the deal. And now the field gets taken away from him. That's what it sounds like from the Mishnah. The Tiferes Yisrael feels that this is such a tremendous chiddush that he hasn't learned that way. He says when the Mishnah says Einay mechashev ele marishin, it doesn't mean you only have business with the first guy. It means you really have to go to the second guy. But you use the calculation of the original sale. That's how he changes it, the Tiferes Yisrael. But definitely the simple reading of the Mishnah sounds like you just go to the first guy. You don't have to talk to the second guy at all. The guy who's sitting there now, you have no business with him. That's what it sounds like. It says the Mishnah, Shenema Aloisha Shemoch Aloi, the man who sold it to who you sold it to. Mochra Rishain b'Masayim, who Mochra Rishain l'Sheni b'Mone. Here you have the opposite situation. You sold it for 200, and now the guy who flipped it, he lost money on the deal. The real estate crashed, and he sold it for 100. Now you're redeeming it post that sale, so you redeem it back on the money. Then you redeem it back on the 100. To the man that's there. That's it. So you don't have to go and give it, you don't have to deal with the original guy. So now, Bekitsi, you get all the benefits. If the real estate, if the guy flipped it at a higher price, you deal with him. And if the guy flipped it at a lower price, lost money on it, then you deal with the second guy's price, at least. You're not allowed to sell a field, a distant field that you have, to redeem a field closer. In other words, you sold a field in your neighborhood, and then you feel bad that you don't have the field, so you want to sell a field that you own in another country to redeem this field. You can't do that. You can only redeem the field by getting money. You can't use one field to redeem another field. Of course, the other way around, you definitely can't do it. It means even if you're benefiting, you're selling a field far, you're getting a field close, you can't do it. Or you can't sell a field that's a low quality to get back a field that's of high quality. And you're not allowed to borrow money to redeem a field. You have to redeem it with money that you have. And you can't redeem a field partially. Let's say you have enough to redeem half the field. You can't impose a partial redemption. Either you have the money to redeem it, or you don't have the money to redeem it. You can't do it halfway. Ubehekdish mutter bekula. By hekdish you could. All these things are permitted by hekdish. We'll see why. Okay, now the Gemara just works out the drasha here. The Gemara says, how do we know the din of this Mishnah? How do we know the din of the Mishnah? That you do business with the first guy. What happens if now it went down in value? Then it's, that's Rebbe's opinion. The Rebbe. Rav Dostoy ben Yehuda Emel, Machra loy b'mone v'hishbicha v'omda al masayim. What happens if the field itself went up in value? You sold him the field for 100, and now it just went up. Real estate went up. Now the field's worth 200. Same field that you sold for 100 is worth 200. Minayin shein mechashev ela b'mone, shenemar, it says, v'heishiv esa oidev. It says you have to give from the change that you have. So we only base it on the money that you received, not on the increased value that the field went up. What happens if the field went down in value? Says the Gemara, my Benayu, what's the difference if you learn like the Tanakama, who's talking about the buyers, or Rav Yosef ben Dostoy, who's talking about the field itself going up or down in value? The Gemara says the difference will be da yaker v'zol v'yaker. You sold the field at one point, it was worth 200. The second guy went and he sold the field only for 100, because it went down in value. But now when you're coming to redeem it, it's worth 200 again. So according to Rav Yosef ben Dostoy, we only go by the value of the field, by what it was and what it is. So you still have to redeem it back by 200. But according to the Tanakhama, that we take the lowest sale price, so since the first guy sold it to the second guy at 200, but then the second guy sold it for 100, even though now it went back up to 200, you only have to redeem it for 100, based on the Tanakhama. Rav Yosi ben Dostoy says we go by the lowest value of the field, what it was and what it is today. But the fact that you sold it in the middle at a lower price, that wouldn't play a role. That's the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Mimai Dilukula, Duma Lukhumra. The Gemara has a general question. Why do we go Lukula? Obviously, all these drushes were going Lukula. We're saying the original buyer, the original seller, he gets the best deal. Either he gets the best deal if that's what he sold it for. He gets the best deal if that's what it was sold for. He always gets the best deal. Why does he always get the best deal? He should get the worst deal. The Gemara says, you're right. Logically, and this is something we have to get back to, logically you should get the worst deal. Logically we should say you pay 200 in all these cases. Why do we make him take 100? Because it's exeris hakost. Gomar Gu'ulo Gu'ulo Me Eved Ivri. We learn out a Gzeir Shoveh from an Eved Ivri, Gu'ulo Gu'ulo. And just like by Eved Ivri, he always pays the lowest price, so you also pay the lowest price. For Hosso Minolon, the Tanya Nimka B'mone V'Ishbiach of Eved Ivri was sold for 100. And then he went up for Omer Al-Masayim, Inayin She Mechashon Al-Mimone, Shenema Mikesef Miknosa. We go by the original money. Now, how do you know Nimka b'Masayim v'Hichsi v'Omar al-Mone? How do you know if he went down in value that you get the benefit of the down? Minayin shei mechashen ela mimone shenema kafi shonov. V'ein li ela evidivri ha-Nimka l'goy. Maybe that's only evidivri you sold to a goy. Sheniga al v'yode al yena Nimka l'yisro minayin tamad loyma socher socher l'gzeru shav. So that's the Gemara. So the bottom line is the Gemara is clear. We learn everything from evidivri. And then Omid Beis, we go through Eved Ivri, how we know Eved Ivri, and the Gemara develops how we know that Eved Ivri is the lowest price. And then we make this Hekish, just like the Eved Ivri redeems himself at the lowest value, so the Steachuzah also gets redeemed at the lowest value. That's the Gemara. The major problems that we have here are several major problems. One issue is, as I said, how do we view this original sale? There are two ways to look at it. Either it's a complete sale, that the owner of the field is selling the field to the first guy, It's a complete sale. If it's a complete sale, then we don't understand any svara here of why he should be able to bechlal intervene with the second guy. Forget the psukim and the rayas that it's the lower price, it's the higher price. L'chayre, he should be out of the loop. Because if I sold it to the first guy and it's a mechira chaluta, it's just that Yovel comes later and Yovel takes it out, that should have nothing to do with the mechira that I did. So if Reuven sold it to Shimon, it's his. Now Shimon sold it to Levi, it's his. Now Yovel will come and do what it has to do. But now that Reuven should be able to go to Levi and talk business with him, without a pasuk, it doesn't make sense that should be the case. So that's one problem. So now we could flip it. We could say, although that's the way we understood it, maybe we have to reanalyze it and say, you know what, that's not the way it works. Really, Reuven originally, when he sold his field to Shimon, it's really a rental. Now that the Torah gave a din of Yovel, it doesn't mean that you're selling it forever and Yovel takes it away. It's really, you're selling it for 49 years, maximum. And that's all it is. So the first guy, when he sold it to the second guy is a tenant, he's not a landlord. Now it's very logical. The second guy has nothing to sell. He's a tenant. He can't make a closing with anybody, he's a tenant. So the only option that he has, really, is to take his rental agreement and sublet it. So he takes his rental agreement, he gives it to Levi. So now it makes sense that Reuven goes to Levi and handles with Levi. Right? He tells Levi, listen, what do you mean? You can't tell me to go home? Your whole ability to be here on this property is as a tenant of my tenant. So in my landlord agreement, I can throw the guy out as long as I give him some money. So I'm coming to you, you're only a tenant, and I'm doing the same thing. If that would work well, why the Gemara has no Havamina, that you can't go to the second guy and throw him out. But it opens up a whole new can of worms. Why? Because now, I don't understand. If Reuven rented his house or field to Shimon, Shimon doesn't own it. Shimon has a right to hang out, to live there. Now Shimon goes and he becomes a flipper. He's flipping my property. I should get the profit. I should get the profit of that property. It's my property. He's only a tenant. Should be my... The Machne Ephraim asked this cash. So let Reuven, the original guy, he should get the profit. It's clear in our whole sugya that that's not what happens. Because if Reuven would really get the profit, then Reuven would be the moicher. Right? To Levi, not Shimon. Then Reuven's the flipper. So then clearly, if Reuven is selling it to Levi, he can't go now and redeem it back with Reuven. So either way it's fair. If you're going to tell me that when he sells it to Reuven, it's Reuven's, Reuven owns it. Yovel is a separate thing. Yovel is Avkata de Malka. Yovel comes later and takes it out. But otherwise it's... So now when Shimon goes and sells it to Levi, we ask, why could you undercut Levi? Levi now owns the field completely. Doesn't make sense that you should be able to go to Levi and kick him out. Who are you to kick Levi out? Doesn't make sense. Elamai, what are we going to say? Especially according to the simple reading of the Mishnah, which as we said, without the Tiferes Yisrael's Pshat, the Gemara doesn't say what the Pshat in the Mishnah is, so it's open for debate. But the Tiferes Yisrael says, you do have to talk to the second guy. But as we explain, when you read the Mishnah, it doesn't sound like you have to talk to the second guy. You could just tell the second guy, L'chaim u'sholom, go leave. You could tell the second guy to leave. Right? I dealt with the first guy. That doesn't make sense. How could you do that? The second buyer owns it. Elamai, no, it's a rental. If it's a rental, then why am I not getting the profit of the property? So you'll say, well, maybe I do. Maybe I do get the... Then why can I redeem it back on the original price? I sold it. It's not that I sold it to Reuven And then Reuven sold it to Shimon. It's the Reuven selling it to Shimon is me. If I'm getting the profit of that flipping, then I'm the seller. And of course I have to redeem it based on that number. So the whole thing doesn't flow. This way doesn't flow, this way doesn't flow. This way doesn't flow.
Why should Reuven get the profit of Shimon?
There's a Mishnah in Bava Metzia that talks about this Shaila. Reuven goes and he rents a Porah. Right? He rents a Porah from, Reuven rents a Porah, and then he goes ahead and he lends it to Shimon. So we have that famous Mishnah in Bava Metzia. Shimon goes there and something happens, an oinus. The animal dies. The animal gets a heart attack and dies. So aloch is that a shoyel has to pay for cardiac arrest. Right? A soicha doesn't have to pay for cardiac arrest. So the aloch is, technically, that the shoyel has to pay the soicha for a para. And the soicha tells the owner of the para, take your para, go to the levaya. So now the soicha is walking around with a para, with a good para. That would be your svara. So Rabbi Yossi goes, what do you mean? Keitzad aloich eschora b'parosei shel chaveiro? Rabbi Yossi says, that doesn't work. You can't make profit off the other guy's back. You can't make profit on the other guy's para. This is the other guy's para. You can't go make business. You got to give him back the para. What do you mean? I own the para. No, it doesn't work that way. We still look at who has the king in our goof. And whoever inherently owns the para, they're the ones that should make the panos off the para. There's a whole chazanish and a whole... there's a lot of Torah on that mishnah to understand what the chachamim hold. But that... Now that... L'chayra, that debate should be the debate over here. If Taka belongs to the owner, and now Shimon wants to go and flip, all he is a rent, tenant, and he wants to go now and flip it and make a profit, forgetting secular law may be in his benefit. Secular law may agree that he could make profit or flipping the lease. But in Aloha, this should be a problem. Zich according to Rabbi Yossi, and we'll see even according to the Rabbanan. But Zich according to Rabbi Yossi. How could you make... Elam, are you going to tell me that you talk to give the profit to the original owner? Then it's his sale. If it's his sale, then why could he redeem it back based on the original number? He sold his field once, and then he sold his field a second time. Why could he redeem it back on the first number that he sold it? Now he made a new sale. It's a pill. Rav Yashiv comes in our sugya, and he has another question. He says he doesn't understand why the Gemara assumes that the redeemer should have to pay premium. The Gemara asks a kasha. Why do we give the original guy the benefit? He should have to pay the premium. And that's the whole... The Gemara says we learn from Eved Ivri, and then the Gemara Amud Beis goes to Barichas, how we know Eved Ivri. But the bottom line is, Eved Ivri gives the cheaper price, and we learn from Eved Ivri that by Estei Achuzo, you also give the cheaper price. But the Gemara's line of reasoning is that if not, we had a separate pasuk, you would have to go ahead and pay you would have to pay the higher fee. The fact that you pay the lower fee is only because we have a pasuk. If not for that, the Gemara says it should be l'chumra. That's the Gemara. So Rav Yashiv asks a very interesting question. He says as follows. Mashma delulei ayalfusa me'evet ivri, hoyinu machmirim al goyel asodem. He says it's mashma from the Gemara that either way, we should always make this guy have to pay more. If one guy is sitting on the field, another guy is redeeming the... No. The simplistic way to understand the Gemara, I'll give it to you in Aleph Beis terms, would be the reason why we'd be machmer on the moicher is because he's a moitzi mechavera. You're sitting on the field, right? Now I'm coming and saying out. And now we have a question, how much do I have to pay you? The lower price or the premium price? So you're muchzik on the field. You're sitting on the field. So you should have the right to say, I want a premium. That's the Aleph Beis, pshat in the Gemara, right? The Gemara says, why do you go l'kula, go l'chumra? What does the Gemara mean? Since you're sitting on the field, and I'm coming to throw you out, You're not coming to throw me out, I'm coming to throw you out, so I should have to give the premium. If we have a shayla, if I have to give you $10 or $20, I should have to give you $20. That's the shayla in our Gemara. So Rav Eliashiv says, but that doesn't really work. That doesn't really work. Why not? He says, I am the Gemara Bava Basra. The Gemara Bava Basra says a halacha like this. If you have a city, and you have a tree, this is found in Perek LeYachpo. You have a tree outside the city, within 50 amah of the city. The halacha is the tree goes down. Okay? Now, but if the guy who owned the tree was there before the city became civilized, then it's his tree. He had a right to have the tree there. You can't just cut it down and throw him out. He's a muhzik. He has the tree. If, however, the city was there first, and he came later and planted the tree, then you could just throw him out. So the Gemara says, either way, you cut the tree down. Either way. But if the tree was there first, you got to pay him off. Because he had a right to plant the tree. He had a right to be there. So you have to pay him off. But if the city came first, and he put the tree there, then you just throw him out. Now what happens, you're talking going back 100 years, you don't know. You don't know if the tree came first, the city came first. What do you do then? So the Gemara says like this, Im sofek, koitzei tzve'enei noisin domim. You don't pay. So now the question is, why isn't the Baal Ilan muksik? Why is the Baal Ilan called muksik? He's holding the tree. He's holding on to the tree. So it's his tree. So if it's his tree, he should be a muksik. He says, listen, we don't have a shiloh whether it's his tree. It's definitely his tree. He says, 1 second, you guys want to cut it down? Pay me. We say, well, we don't have to pay you because we don't know if the tree was here before the city. He goes, you bring the raya. I'm holding on to my tree. You want to take the tree away from me. Mamish like our sugya. I'm holding on to your field. Now we have two prices that you could redeem it back. The lower price or the higher price. Right? It's mamish a duplicate of our sugya. Pay the lower price. No, pay the higher price. You want to take the field away from me. Comes the Chacham Tzvi. And the Chacham Tzvi says, no, there's no rule of muhsik. Very interesting svara the Chacham Tzvi says. He says like this. He says, since the tree is to be uprooted anyway, there's not a suffix in halacha whether the tree gets cut down. Whether the tree came first, whether the city came first, the tree gets cut down. So the Chacham Tzvi says, the way it works is, you cut the tree down. Finished. So the tree's down. Now you have a shayla, money. We're holding on to the money. The city is holding on to the money. How much is Mechamel of a raya? In other words, if the debate would be cut down the tree, not cut down the tree, then the owner of the tree would be a muhsik taka, and you wouldn't be able to cut the tree down. But Lamai said the tree gets cut down anyway. That's not a machloikas. The tree gets cut down even if the tree was there first. So now we only have one issue, compensation. So we deal with the compensation as post the tree era. The tree era gets knocked down. Now there's no more tree. Now the owner of the tree says, pay me. We say, well, prove that the tree was there first. Our debate is not over the tree. That's the Chacham Tzvi. Our debate is not over the tree because the halacha is that the tree gets cut down. That's the Chacham Tzvi. Chacham Tzvi miyashiv de lagabi ha'ilon ein adomi ma'akvin es adin liktsoy ses ha'ilon. You cut down the tree anyway. Mashen, that's it. In other cases, it's not the way. He says, if that's the case, so now we understand. What about over here? Over here, he says, maybe it makes sense. How do we treat this land? The guy has to give you back the land anyway. Shiloh's how much money? Do we treat this as who's muhsik here? On the one end, you could say, the guy who's sitting on the field is a muhsik. On the other end, you could say, no, he's got to give me back the field either way. Whether it's the lower price or the higher price, he has to give me back the field. So you could look at it two ways here. Or you could say, well, but until you give him the money, he doesn't have to give you back the field. Or you could look at it like, the field goes back to me the other way. He has no schus to hold the field. He only has shail of compensation. So it's not clear. So if Eliashiv wants to say maybe it works that way too. It works, because over here, since you do have to pay him to get the field back, even though it's not his ability to stop you from paying him, still, he's called a muchzik, because you do have to pay him. But again, you could then say the same thing by the tree. You could say on the tzad that it's his tree, I have to pay him. It's very unclear. It's not, definitely not clear why the Gemara here says for Dover Pashat that it should be the other way. But I want to explain to you, based on our home halach here, this ha'orah of Eliashiv will also be answered. We brought down here in the Imar Mekremis a siman in Shulchan Aruch. Rabbi put Naftali through the grinder with this because I gave him, there were two places, one in Arachayim and one in Chayshim Mishpat. So I gave him the siman number in Chayshim Mishpat and the wrong siman number for Arachayim. But over here it's in Hilchas Erevin. In Hilchas Erevin, the Shulchan Aruch talks about the people that are renting. Do they have the ability to be legabi the Erev? Do we deal with them as the owners? In other words, by every Erev, you need to have a kinyan with the owner. Does the person who rents have a din of the bailam? So the Ramo over here says, Uschiroi shall schiroi ulikite shall balabayas, hukisochir shall balabayas atzmai. So here the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramo seems to say that the renter who rented it from you is considered the owner. And if he rents it to somebody, he's also considered the owner. They're all, which would seem to imply that there's a bailus. The Goyen also brings this down, that the soicher could be ma'arev to this reason, because he's called the owner. The Goyen here will mask you. And the Yad Ephraim on the side here also talks about the shaila. B'nei Amov Yisochu Me'akam Afa Pishi Yishchir Mulekitim Beveisai Ein Eislim Klal. So he, the Yad Ephraim, takes a different route. He feels that the renters are not considered bailam. He's talking about a case where you got the reshus from the goy, but meanwhile the goy had tenants in the house. Do those tenants have to be reckoned with? And the Yad Ephraim wants to say not. So there doesn't seem to be a clear view here in Archaim whether the renter is enough of a balabos that if he rents it to somebody else, if that's called an ownership or not. The Ramah seems to say clearly that yes. Now, if you look at the Rambam that we brought down in Hilchos Schiros, Perek Hei, the Rambam says a very interesting halacha. He holds that you don't need to have a sublet agreement in a rental, in a landlord rental contract. You don't need to have a clause that gives the tenant a right to sublet. He holds it's automatic. Mikan ani yomer shamaske bayis lachaveiro yadzman kotzuv. If somebody rents his house to somebody for a set amount of time, and the tenant wants to then go and sublet it, says the Rambam, atzoiv zmanei maskil acherim. You could rent it to others as long as you're not causing more property, damage. So you can't go, if you and your wife rented a house, you can't sublet it to a couple with 18 children. Because then he would have never rented it to that. But as long as you're not increasing the damage to wear and tear on the house, you could do it without his reshus. Ella, he says like this, we know, shem hoyu abo lo yizka lachamish. You can't up the number of the house. Then he says, shelo yomu chachomim ein asoicha rashay lahaskir, ella b'metaltal. Says the Rambam a big chiddush. The whole din that a soicha doesn't have the ability to go and give it to somebody else, that's only by metalkon. Sha'arayim eloyim rtsoini she'pigdoni bi'anacha. Avo b'karkai b'sfino. Sha'aray b'ayli ima inayim rimkein. By a field we don't say this. V'chein aniyim. Oh, so the Ravid comes. If you look at the end of this Rambam by the star, v'yesh mi shohira she'eni yochel askir lach haklal. V'lo yeroel li. Comes the Ravid, Omer Avram, yesh b'dereinu oimrim kein, she'yesh b'nei odom she'machrisim, mechrivim bayis b'dirot. You can't just sublet it, because there are people that destroy a house. So you can't do it. If you look at the Hakos Maimini in the Rambam, he actually agrees with the din of the Rambam. On the first page, Ois Lamed in the Hakos Maimini, on the bottom he says, V'chein posak moiri zatzal, tani milu b'metatlan. Only by metatlan that's the halach. Okay. So there seems to be the machloikis, the Rambam and the Ravid, whether when you rent land, does that give you automatically the unilateral right to sublet it? Exactly. The Ravid holds that you're not given that right automatically. It's like metalklin. Whatever applies to metalklin applies to karka. It seems to be a practical machloikis between the Rambam and the Ravid. Whether by land we are, the owner did give you the right to sublet it, or the owner didn't give you the right to sublet it. But if you look in the Achronim, there's a different opinion. Some of the Achronim feel that our sugya is a raya that the tenant could sublet it. Because of my cash. Because how in the world did the first guy sell it to the second guy? It must be that the tenant has a right to sublet. Says as follows. There's a Machne Ephraim. The Machne Ephraim here quotes the Mordechai in a Perek HaSoiches Umnin. Ruvein his kebayis l'shimin, Shimin yochol l'achnes es Levi. He could bring Levi in. And he says, what's the raya? Shemochar sodeh bizman shayevil noyek. He brings our Mishnah. You sell a field when yevil is noyek. Ein echol tzmisus el ala yevil. And mele is a raya. And still in all it works. So you see that they're bringing a raya to the Rambam, to the Rambam's din, from our sugya. The fact that you could go and you could sublet the field now to somebody else without the original owner's authority, obviously, because if you need his authority, then he should get the profit. And if he gets the profit, the whole din makes no sense. What says Nasugi? It must be that you have this right. So I want to be masber to you that I believe there's another way, another approach here to learn. Why over here it's different, according to everybody, why the second guy has a right to go and work independent and give it to the third guy, even though he doesn't have a king and a goof on the field. And that will bridge the gap between the two difficulties that we have. We asked, if the guy has a king and a goof on the field, so you shouldn't be able to redeem it back at all from the third guy. And if he doesn't have a king and a goof on the field, then you should get the profit. So I want to be masber to you like this. We know that there's something called rentals. Every rental is a big shaila, how we view a rental. Like I showed you in our Chaim, same shaila is found in Choshim Mishpat. How do we view a rental? Does he own it? Does he not own it? Does he own it midaraisa? Does he only own it midarabonon? There's countless dinim that this is negeya to mezuzah. Right? The seicher puts up a mezuzah. Is that a din daraisa? He has to put up a mezuzah. If you hold schir is like Kanye, it's only midarabonon. He only has to put up a mezuzah midarabonon. We had the same shaila in Hilchas Erevin. When you go to a hotel for Shabbos, so the halacha is, assuming that it's not a frum hotel, if it's a frum hotel, they took over the whole place, then you don't need an Erev Tavshil, an Erev Tchumen, or an Erev Chatzeres, because over there you're all one. You're considered one. It's one Rishus. You're all eating from one kitchen. You don't need to have an Erev Chatzeres. And that's the way I'm noyeg in hotels, not to require an Erev Chatzeres, where the whole hotel was taken over. Okay. Now, what happens if the whole hotel was not taken over? Which happens frequently. You go away in a hotel for Shabbos, you take one or two rooms. Technically now, people don't think about this, they need an Erev Chatzeres. Right? Technically. And it would be impossible to make an Erev Chatzeres. You'd have to go to make a collection in the whole hotel, and then all the Jews should chip in, and the Goyim should rent you their rooms. I mean, it's not happening. It's not happening. So what do? So the Parsha to Eitz is that the reason why you don't need to make a separate Erev Chatzeres in a hotel is because since there are things in the room that the balabos of the hotel owns, like the furniture, television set, the computer, whatever's in the room, the lamp, this belongs to the owner of the room, of the hotel. So memela, you don't need an Erev Chatzeres, because there's a rule, kol sheyad balabayis b'em sayin tzorech Erev. Which means, if I rent out my apartment to somebody, my downstairs apartment, technically, I can walk downstairs on Shabbos without an Erev Chatzeres, because I'm going from my domain to his domain, and vice versa also. He can't come to me. But if I have Kalim in the apartment where that person is, then it works. And that's how Ramesha paskins. It's basically Aloch and Shulchan Aruch. And the Marshag, there's a Marsham, Marshag, they have different ha'oras on this din. L'chayre, it shouldn't work. Because just like I need an Erev because I rented the room, I also rented the use of the lamp, of the television set, of the bedroom, furniture. I'm renting everything. I'm renting a furnished apartment. I'm renting a furnished hotel room. If you're going to tell me a rental is nothing, then you don't need an Erev Chatzeres at all. But you do need to have an Erev Chatzeres because we say a rental is something. So on the one end, we say a rental is something. On the other end, we say a rental is nothing. This doesn't seem to drive. The teretz is that there's a nafka mina in halacha between karka and metalko. By karka, schiras kanyan. By karka, the fact when you rent land, the yishtamshus that you have in that land, that is considered a kinyan. That's an ownership. That's why you chayv in mezuzah. That's ownership. By metalklin, you're like a shoyal. You're a glorified shoyal. You don't have to pay einsim. But you're like a shoyal. It's not, you don't have a kinyan on the object. So lagabi, the furniture in the room, and the television and the lamp, over there we say you don't own it. So now the owner of the building has that. Unless he sold it to you. So it's yad balabayis be'emsa. So ain't tzorech erev. This is the view of Rav Moshe, and this is really what would be the basis for all these halachas. But I would say we have to go one step further. There are opinions of all that schirus is loy kanya mederaisa even by karka. L'moshel, most of the rishonim hold that a soicher is only chayiv and mezuzah mederabonan, which means that it doesn't even work mederaisa. So therefore, all our etzes to go to Erev, we went to the Ramo and Hilchos Erevin, to go to the, it doesn't help us, because those are all Dinim Derabonin. Here we're dealing with Dinim Deraisa. And for Dinim Deraisa, it should be, not be that way. Here's the added piece that I think we have to understand. What's the reason why every Soicher we would say is not a king in Midaraisa? It doesn't work. So I'm going to make one Dimyon to one other Halacha. We find something in Shas called Goyrem Lemomen. Goyrem Lemomen is Kemomen Dom, which means if I have chometz, Pesach is coming. I have chometz that I'm watching for somebody else. David Resnick gave me chometz to watch. So now I'm watching his chometz. Now the halacha is that if Pesach goes by, he didn't come to me before Pesach. Pesach goes by. I could tell him, after Pesach, I could say, David, here's your bread. The only thing David could do with the bread is burn it. But that's the halacha. Yeah. Oh. So now, what happens if somebody comes to that loaf of bread that I have by me, that's really Dr. Resnick's bread, and he burns it? So now I have to pay. Now I end up having to pay Dr. Resnick for the loaf of bread. I got to give him $5 for the loaf of bread. I don't know what it is today. Right? This time it's going up. So, can the guy who, can I go to the one who burnt the loaf of bread and charge him? For the bread that the emphasis when he burnt the bread, it wasn't worth anything. But for me it was worth, because I could have used that loaf of bread to potter myself, to excuse myself from pain. So that's what the Gemara says, a geirim l'mamon, if you owe geirim l'mamon, it's k'mamon d'ami, I have to pay. Because it says, though I own the bread. The bread, number one, is osabano. Number two, it's not even my bread really. But since I could have used the bread to pay back a choiv, that's called ownership. And now when he goes and he burns the loaf of bread, I have to pay. So the obvious question is, how could geirim l'mamon be more of a bailus than the one who owns the bread itself? Why can't the guy who burnt the loaf of bread say, what are you talking about? You don't own the bread, Dr. Resnick owns the bread. Let him take me to the interior. And the Dr. Resnick I'll have a very good time with. Because Dr. Resnick will come to me and say, pay me for my loaf of bread. I'll tell him I burnt the loaf of bread that was worthless to you. So that way I become potter. Why can't I do that? Why can't I go to the Shomer and tell him, Shomer, you don't own the bread anyway. It's not your bread. So who owns the bread? Dr. Resnick. So I'll let him take me to the interior. Then when he takes me to the interior, I'll have a Gan Eden. I'll tell Dr. Resnick, what do you want? He'll say, what do you mean you burnt my loaf of bread? I said, yeah. What was the market value third day of Pesach of your loaf of bread? Zero. So I don't know you anything. Why can't I do that? So I want to tell you a Poshup Shak why you can't do that. Ein Echanami. Goyrim L'mamon normally wouldn't be called ownership. I'm saying, but Goyrim L'mamon would not be called ownership. Only on Pesach it's called ownership. You know why? Because the chafetz itself has no value. So then the primary owner during Pesach is the shomer. Because the shomer is the only one who has the highest financial interest in the object. You follow? Normally, Goyim L'mamon wouldn't make you into Balabos. You can't be Mekadosh and Isha because you have an object that you have a benefit from that object. Such a type of a benefit. Doesn't work. Right? A Shomer can't be Mekadosh a woman with a Chafetz that he's watching, because he could say, it's Goyim L'mamon for me, because if something happens to it, I got that doesn't work. But Pesach is different. Because Pesach, this object is worthless. This loaf of bread is not worth a dime. The only one that it reflects value to is the shomer. Because the shomer could use it to potter himself. So he has the highest and only financial interest in this object. That's why Goyim L'mamon is K'mamon D'ami. But Avad, if you had a case where you have an object that has value, we wouldn't say Goyim L'mamon K'mamon D'ami. Say the owner is the owner. And the Goyim L'mamon is the Goyim L'mamon. He's a shlomazel, he's not the main owner. But this case that I gave you, he's the main owner. Now, normally we say, schiris loikanya, midaraisa. It's because the owner maintained to himself the kinyan aguf. You have to listen to this clearly. The owner went, a regular case of schiris. The owner took the thing that he has, right? And he rented it to you. He really held the main value. The permanent value of this object, he held. So you're only a shmegegi. So even though you have a temporary ownership on the object, but the owner is called the one who has the lion's share, and he maintained his main rights of his object, which is the everlasting rights that the object has. The fact that he has everlasting rights, and you have only temporary rights, makes you into a shmegegi. So that's why midaraisa you're not called a balabos. But let's say I would find you an object that has no everlasting rights to it. You hear what I'm saying? The object at its maximum can only be sold for 10 years, let's say. And you go and take that object that you can sell for 10 years and you give it to Shimon. Okay? So now, here, everybody would owe schiris kanya. Because I've relinquished everything that I have, I've relinquished to him. I only have a right to sell it for 10 years. It's not like I have a right to sell it for a million years. I gave him 10 years of it. Then he has 10 years. I'm holding on to the lion's share of the object's transferability. You follow? The object has a transferability forever. I transferred it to David for 10 years, so I'm called the everlasting owner. Even Lagabi, the usage, we look at it like I have the permanent usage. I can give away that usage forever. And I gave him a piece. When I gave him all the rights that I have here, I can sell this field with all my crowns. I'm a Tzestei Achuzah, and I have all the crowns. I'm a Levi, I'm a this, I'm whatever I am. With all my crowns on my head, I can only sell it till Yovel. And now I took all the rights that I have, and I gave it to this guy. So now he's not Stam HaSoicha. Now he's like a balabos. Because I've relinquished everything, all the koiches that I have to transfer, and I gave it to him. If I do that, then already it's a whole different vote. Then it's a different concept. Years ago I saw Rav Rosen, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, says, Mamish such a svara. He says, a general rule. Kol heichon sha'amoicher, anytime a seller sells kol schus sheyesh loy, every schus that he has, havi kemoy shenosnoy loy aguf. It's like you gave the person the goof. If I gave you all I could give, I've relinquished everything that I can give, that's called a kinyan gomer. Be'etzim. Which means, although it's a schirus, but the rules of schirus loy kanya don't apply. Schirus loy kanya is only because I held back. I held something back from you. When I relinquish all the ishtamshes of this object to you, now it's schirus kanya. So that's why here we have two owners. We have the original owner, and we have the second guy. Now we understand why there's number one, we understand why the sale works. We understand why the second guy doesn't have to give the first guy more money, like a regular case of Seicher. Regular case of Seicher, he'd have to give the first guy money. He doesn't have to give the first guy money. This has nothing to do with the Machloikis Rambam and Raivit. Because the Machloikis Rambam and Raivit is Bizman Azeh, like Michal said, it's a practical Machloikis. What am I giving you? Bizman Shayevul Noyeg, I'm giving you everything. I'm giving the first guy, when I sell it to the first guy, I'm giving him everything that I have. Everything I could possibly give him. I've relinquished whatever ability, transfer abilities that I have, I gave him. That's why our sugya works, Sai according to the Rambam, and Sai according to the Raivit. Now we understand also Rav Yashiv's question. Why don't we treat you, the Redeemer, as a muhsik? Because you're not. Because right now, until Yovel, he is the complete muhsik. You forfeited all the rights that you have on this object until Yovel. So now when you have a shiloh, do you give him the lower price or the premium price without a posuk? By a regular soicher, we would say the other way around. We'd say, you're the owner of the karka. But here it's not that way. Here, since you've relinquished all your schusim to him, he's called a muhsik. For the 49 years that he's there, he is the complete muhsik. And that's why if we have a shiloh, you give a higher price or lower, you'd have to give him the higher price to get it back. Because he's a muhsik. So in other words, even if you hold that regularly a soicher medaraisa is not a muhsik, that's only a type of soicher that wasn't given the complete rights relinquished by the owner when the rental happened. But if the owner relinquished all his rights that he had to transfer to this guy, he gave him everything that he could transfer, then it's complete nituk. He let go of his ownership for the next 49 years. Now this guy is called a balabas for 49 years. For 49 years he's called a balabas. But he's still a soicher. He's still a soicher. He's a soicher kanya. He's still a soicher. And that's why we understand also, it's not that Yovel comes and is mafkia. No. He's a soicher for 49 years. And that's why he can't give over more than he has. That's why the second guy does have to deal with me. We were asking him imanav shuch. If he's only a soicher, right? So then why do I have to deal with the second guy bechlal, right? And if he's not a soicher, he owns it. Then why do I have a right to go? The Torah says no, he's a soicher. It is a soicher with an owner who's relinquished his rights to him. So now the first guy has full authority to do anything he wants based on those rights that were given to him, but he's still a soicher. So I still can go to the other guy because still he's still dealing with the limited, with that limited schiras. It's just it's a whole schiras. Regular schiras, the owner is holding on to something against the soicher. Here he's not. So that's really how everything here ties together. That's the reason why in Svara you'd have to pay the premium price. It's not for the Xeris HaKosov. And that's the reason why the second guy could rent it to the third guy and get the profit of it. And that's the reason why, since it is a Schirus, that's the reason why the first guy still has a right to go and say, Kishem, whatever I could take back from my first Soicher, I could take back from you. I can't stop him from doing anything, because I've relinquished everything to him. But whatever the Torah gave me rights with my first soicher, I can give to you. That I still have. Okay, we'll stop.